Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Welcome to Reflection Time. We're glad you've tuned into the program today. On our program, we'll be coming to a conclusion in our discussion on the Three Angels' Message. We'll be discussing this during the first half hour with Mario Sarek in the studio. As well, we'll be sharing with you some music from Bruce Moss. But first off, we'll be playing some health information from Lifeline Productions with Dr. Elmar Sakala. And today, he will be talking about headaches and how to reduce and avoid them.
Do you need relief from that headache? This is Dr. Elmar Sakala for Lifelines. If you suffer from headaches, here are five leading culprits to avoid. Stress. Take 30 minutes during the day just to relax. Foods. Certain foods can trigger headaches. Caffeine, red wine, processed meats, chocolate. Eye strain. Be sure to take periodic eye breaks. Sitting for long periods of time, they can cause muscles to tighten. Make sure to stretch every hour or take a short walk during lunch. Lastly, don't get too little or too much sleep. Remember, headaches are not inevitable. They can be prevented.
Lifelines, a public service of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, provides practical answers to common health questions. For more free health tips, call 877-LIFE-TIPS or visit vibrantlife.org.
Well, according to that, there's many causes of headaches when you're in university. Stress, I'm sure, being a big one. So if you feel stressed over an exam, perhaps you can tell your instructor that you're too stressed, and to avoid a headache, you'd have to bypass on the exam. Well, I don't think that would work too well, but there's certainly some wise advice there as to how to control headaches for those who do suffer from them, because some people do suffer tremendously and terribly from that. And now I'd like to share with you a song from Bruce Moss entitled, "We Are Going Home."
Trumpet call will sound and we will rise to meet the Lord together. We will hear the voice of heaven descending on the clouds. With a mighty shout he'll call our names out loud. Wake up all you people from the nations far and wide, on that resurrection morning when the graves are open wide. There'll be glory in the kingdom that transfigures you and me when Jesus Christ the Savior sets us free. We're going home. We're going home. Where the streets are paved with gold. We're going home. Where we will live and not grow old. We will drink the living waters from the streams of paradise. We will eat the fruit of heaven from the healing tree of life. We're going home, where life eternal reigns. We're going home, where the blind will see again, and we're all of God's creation. We'll live in harmony. When the law of God is written in our hearts, we will be free. Wake up all you people from the nations far and wide, on that resurrection morning when the bridegroom takes his bride. There'll be glory in the kingdom that transcends this earthly plane. Jesus Christ the Lamb returns again. We're going home. We're going home to a far and distant shore. We're going home where we will reign forevermore. We will dwell in mansions built by holy hands in the city of our God, the New Jerusalem. We're going home where the brightness of the sun will keep us warm. When the day of judgment comes, the darkness of this wicked world will vanish in the light. When the righteousness of day overcomes the sinful night. Wake up all you people from the nations far and wide, on that resurrection morning when the graves are open wide. There'll be glory in the kingdom that transfigures you and me, when Jesus Christ the Savior sets us free. So wake up all you people from the nations far and wide, on that resurrection morning when the bridegroom takes his bride. There'll be glory in the kingdom that transcends this earthly plane, when Jesus Christ the Lamb returns again. When the Holy Lamb of God returns again, we're going home. We're going home.
And that was We Are Going Home. And that ties in nicely to our discussion topic today on the three angels' message, because it's God's final message to his people before he comes to take his people home. As I mentioned earlier, this is our final chapter in our discussion on the three angels' message. In the studio again, we have Mario Sarek. Welcome there, Mario.
Thank you, Paul.
The subject we're going to discuss today is in the, is the conclusion of this series is the mark of the beast. The first six programs we spoke about the three angels' message. Last week we started looking at what the actual mark was, what the significance is of the forehead and the hand that's referred to in Revelation, of chapter 14 and the third angel's message. We found out that the Bible very clearly says the forehead represents our mind and the hand represents our actions. The battleground for our mind is tremendous. You know, the battle between God and Satan for control of our mind is tremendous. God realizes that we must have a clear mind to understand his truth, and that Satan is constantly trying to distract us so that our mind would be focused on something other than what God wants us to focus on, and that our hands as well represents that which we do. Mm-hmm. You know, the actual, do we keep God's commandments or do we turn from them? So when in the third angel's message, when it refers to the forehead and the hand, we saw that throughout the book of Revelation, there are a number of references to the forehead, and that everybody will receive something in their forehead. God's people will receive their name in their forehead. Those who are not God's people will receive the mark of the beast in the forehead or the hand.
And I should just say, Paul, that no one has the mark right now, as we're going to, you know, find out from the scripture. But just before Jesus comes, this will be a dividing issue that people have to make their choices.
Yeah. And the key to understanding this topic, the key to understanding the mark of the beast, is the three angels' message. We're going to confront it head on. Don't take my word for this. We're going to let the Bible interpret itself, and we've got many quotes that we want to share with you today to substantiate the truth that we're going to share. And in looking at the issue of the mark of the beast, there's two primary points that we want to highlight. One is that the primary issue of the mark of the beast involves the worship of the creator of heaven and earth. Those who do this will not receive the mark of the beast. The Bible is clear on this. And the second point is that those that follow Jesus and keep his commandments will also not receive the mark of the beast. That's clear because at the close of the third angel's message, we read, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." These are people who will always look to God, and God will protect them and will not give in to the mark of the beast.
And I was drawing a parallel here, Paul, because I just saw this very popular documentary by Al Gore, An Inconvenient Truth. It might be inconvenient, but it deals with a very global and important issue that affects every person on this planet, its environment. And I want to see that this actually draws a similar parallel. There might be an inconvenient truth, but it's the truth from God, and it sends to the very last message before he comes. But I want to draw some parallels, as you point out, these two primary issues, and we found them in Revelation 14, 7 and 9. I just want, I want to invite the listener to, you know, bring out your Bible and follow along here or afterwards. In Revelation 14, 7, it says, "Worship him." Here again, we have "worship him who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and the fountains of water." And then if you go further down to verse 9, you'll find out, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand." Again, we have contrast between those who worship God, who is the creator, and we have a contrast with those who worship the beast. And this beast also has his image and his mark and his in his forehead and his hand. So we see the two contrasts here. And a little bit further down in Revelation 14:11, we see a similar thing again, where it says, "Who worship the beast and his image, and whoever received the mark of his name." And then, as you read in verse 12, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here that they keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." Hmm. So all through the third angels, it goes back and forth, depicting the two classes of people just before Jesus comes. Because later on in Revelation 14, we see the judgment scene, and we see Jesus coming.
Mm-hmm. So there's two groups.
Mm-hmm.
Both groups are worshiping.
Yes.
One group is worshiping the creator of heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
The second group is worshiping, but the beast. And as we discussed earlier, the beast is clearly outlined, described in Revelation 13 and even going back into Daniel 7. So this is an important truth. Mm-hmm. And to further dwell on this, I want to look back at the commandments found in Exodus chapter 20. If we look there in commandment 4, which starts in verse 8 of chapter 20, we read, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And it's interesting. When we spoke about the forehead and the hand,
mm-hmm.
we see both of these referenced in the fourth commandment. Because it starts out by saying, "Remember."
Mm-hmm.
Where do we remember?
Well, if you've been told already.
In the frontal lobes, mm-hmm. in the mind, you know. It's in the mind that we, you know, the forehead that we remember.
But also it's something that God had must have told before. He wouldn't say remember if he didn't told you already.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on by saying, "6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work." What is it that we labor with? We labor mm-hmm. with our hands.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you know, we see a tie-in between what is discussed, you know, in the last message that goes forth to the world, covered much earlier in scriptures. So the idea of the forehead and the hand, the thoughts, the minds, and the labor being covered in the fourth commandment. Now, this is the only commandment that deals with worship. And it's interesting, this commandment is the commandment that is repeated within the three angels' message, almost verbatim, you know, mm-hmm. worship the creator of heaven and earth. You know, "In 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day." So it's very clear that the three angels' message is rooted within the Ten Commandments. Now, if we look at the mark of the beast, Mario, I believe in Revelation, we need to understand in Revelation 15 where the mark comes from.
And this is actually interesting. Revelation 15:2, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass, mingled fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So this is in the future, where we see those who overcame this beast, and his mark, and his seat, and so on. And interesting, things popped out here, Paul, was that, you know, there's three things identifying that this beast gives. You know, his image, over his mark, and the number of his name. You know, it's three things that seem to be interesting, because when you go back, as you just read in Revelation, in Exodus, there's three characteristics that you find in the fourth commandment. Because, as we always say, the commandment has to have a signature. It has to have a mark to show its authority, the one who gave the Ten Commandments. If you only have nine, who gave it? Could be anyone, you know. But the fourth one is just identifying who the lawgiver is. Because it has three identifying things as well, which I find interesting. It has his name, says, Lord thy God. It has a title, he is the creator. And he has a third thing, jurisdiction. His territory. And it says heaven and earth. Mm-hmm. And similar thing, we see the beast having a counterfeit mm-hmm. that has his own thing that he, mm-hmm. of course, through the dragon that gave him power and deceit. Mm-hmm. But he takes his prerogative on earth as yeah. well as, you know, countering with Christ.
Yeah. And, you know, that also ties in well when you talk about the mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
People keep focusing on the mark of the beast and forgetting what they receive from God. Everybody will receive something, either the mark of the beast or the seal of God.
Yes.
And, you know, there's three components within a seal.
Mm-hmm.
Is there not?
Yes.
The same thing, the name, the title, and the jurisdiction.
Exactly. And, you know, it's not just we found Exodus 20 in the fourth commandment, but many times through the Old Testament and the New, we see here, for instance, Ezekiel 20:12 says, this God says, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. So Sabbath is not just a set aside a day and worship God, but he also, this thing, he says, I'm the Lord that sanctifies you, that sets you aside for a divine purpose, you know, for a special purpose. And also it's in Exodus 31:17, it says, it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. And we talked about Israel, Paul, and being the spiritual Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. So again, it goes back, points us always back to the Creator.
And the fourth commandment.
And the fourth commandment, yes.
Yeah. Now, we've covered in previous programs, the Bible clearly interprets who the beast is in mm-hmm. reference to. You know, it is Papal Rome.
Yes.
And they're not shy in admitting that themselves. I mean, there's many quotes. I mean, we're going to share several quotes today.
Mm-hmm.
But the first one I'd like to is taken right from the Catholic Catechism. What does the papacy say her symbol or mark of authority is? The question is asked, have you any other way of proving that the Church has power to institute festivals of precept? And the answer from the Catechism comes, had she not such power, she could not have done that in which all modern religionists agree with her. She could not have substituted the observance of Sunday, the first day of the week, for the observance of Saturday, the seventh day, a change for which there is no scriptural authority.
And, you know, this beast, in reference in third angels, we find this in Daniel 7:25, where God says that he would think to change times and laws. It's interesting, you know, that it links those two, Daniel 7 and Revelation 13.
Yeah. And I have another quote now that I'd like to share from a historical quote from Cardinal Gibbons that will be read to us by Steve Wolberg.
What people do not know is that the Roman Church not only claims to have changed the Bible Sabbath into Sunday, the first day of the week, but they also claim that that day is a mark of their authority as the true church. Here's a statement quoted in my book, Truth Left Behind. This is from Cardinal Gibbons, the famous Catholic cardinal, on November 11, 1895. And this is what he says, quote, of course, the change from Sabbath to Sunday was her act, and the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical power and her authority in religious matters.
Now that's powerful. The Bible not only talks about a beast and identifies a beast, it not only talks about the mark and identifies the mark, but the Bible also predicted well in advance what would take place. In describing the Antichrist in Daniel 7, verse 25, God said that it would think to change times and laws. And the important aspect there is think, because nobody can change God's laws, even though man or this beast power may think to change them.
Was the reason why it was written in stone, Paul. but here are the three things, that different ways that the Catholic Church changes the God's law, or thinks to change God's law. In her catechism, she has one, omit the second commandments against the veneration of images. And number two, she has shortened the fourth, the Sabbath commandment, from 94 words to just 8. And this is what it reads, remember that thou keep holy the Sabbath day. But if you have only that, Paul, it doesn't specify, as we just said, the three characteristics. Who is the one that gave the law? Could be anyone that actually, and which day it is, by the way, you know. And, finally, she divided the 10th commandment into two commandments. It's also interesting, Paul, if you go look at the catechism, the last two that was broken, divide up about coveting, it's completely different than the ninth and the last two in the tenth commandment. The order is different. So I find that fascinating. The order is not even properly done.
Yeah.
And second thing is that the papacy attempt to change God's times. There's two ways. She has changed the time from the Sabbath, from the seventh day to the first, as we've been looking at. And she's also changed God's, timing from the beginning and closing hours of the Sabbath. I mean, a lot of people might not realize it, but the Roman institution is that we go now measure from what? From evening, you know, from midnight to midnight. But that's not what we read in the Bible. There we find that it goes from Friday night to sundown to Saturday, sundown is counted as a day. So, you know, these are things that God predicted. These changes will be attempted by the beast or the Antichrist power.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, if you turn back to the catechism as well, the question is asked, which is the Sabbath day? And the answer replies, Saturday is the Sabbath day. Another question, why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? The answer, we observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of thinking to change times. Now, I want to just, you know, pause here for a minute, just to emphasize, and we've done this throughout the program, the Bible here is highlighting an institution in this beast power.
Mm-hmm.
God is not talking about specific people, because God has his people everywhere. There's sincere, devout, you know, honest people in all churches, in all institutions, and he's not pointing the finger at them. So I'm very, you know, I want to be cautious in how we say this, because God loves absolutely everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He's just trying to highlight what is taking place in the world so that people can see what's taking place and make decisions for themselves based on what the truth is in the Bible.
And this message is going to all people and tongues and nations, so it includes other religions as well, where God has his people there
too. Yeah. Now, I think you have a few more quotes that you'd like to share to substantiate this.
Well, you know, Jesus said, by their fruit you should know them. And, you know, it's good to read some of this because, they're very poignant. One of the things I want to read is Decreto de Translate Episcop. I'm not very good in Latin or Italian, but this is the quote. It says, the Pope has power to change times, to abrogate laws, and to dispense with all things, even the precepts of Christ. Now, I think that's very powerful. And just one something that came to my mind, Paul, is that on March 22nd, 2004, there was an opening ceremony of a new John Paul II Vatican Culture Center in Washington, D.C. And George Bush was there cutting the ribbon with cardinals, and I thought it was two interesting statements. One was by the cardinals. They said, or John Paul II actually said this, we will come to view this as our little Vatican in the United States. And this is what George Bush says. The best way to honor Pope John Paul II, truly one of the great men, is to take his teachings seriously, is to listen to his words and put his words and teachings into action here in America. This is a challenge we must accept. And this was from March 22nd, 2004.
And we go right back to what we spoke about in previous programs, the two beasts identified in Revelation 13, the Roman Church and the USA.
Yeah.
And how the two of them are coming together, and they're filling that prophecy to a T.
Yes.
You know, and it's only going to get closer and closer as time passes. There's a few points now, because our time is getting short, a few points I want to summarize here with regards to Three Angels' message. The Three Angels' message is the key to understanding and avoiding the mark of the beast. You know, God's people must focus on receiving the seal of God as opposed to receiving the mark of the beast. Point number two, worship of the Creator is the primary issue about who will receive the mark of the beast. You know, the world seems to be deluged with evolutionary thinking.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, Satan is trying adamantly to get people's focus away from worshiping the Creator of heaven and earth.
And also you have a higher criticism coming in now, very much so.
Mm-hmm. Third point, those who keep the commandments will not receive the mark of the beast. The fourth point is the fourth commandment is the only one dealing with the subject of worship of the ten. As well, the fourth commandment, point number five, the fourth number commandment also deals with the forehead and the hand. Remember we mentioned that a few minutes ago. It starts by saying, remember, which is the forehead. And, you know, 6 days shall thou labor. You know, it's talking about, you know, what you do with your hands. Revelation 13 identifies the beast power referred to here as papal Rome. And that it was this beast power that thought or thinks to change the day of worship as the mark of their authority. I mean, there's numerous quotes we shared there which highlights that. And just to summarize, these are biblical facts that they're not ours. They're coming straight from the Bible and from what these groups believe. You know, it's their own words. And it's important just to summarize again that nobody yet has received the mark of the beast.
No, Paul, we want to make sure clear that this, in Bible talking about this issue of the, it takes place just before Jesus comes. There will be time given when people will make the decisions, and this issue will come out more in an openness and be on more of a global issue that people will have to take a stand for.
Mm-hmm.
But no one has the mark right now.
There's many catalysts in the world right now that could bring about governments enforcing such legislation.
Mm-hmm.
We see how volatile a world we live in these days. Mm-hmm. But the final decision will be an individual one. Will we follow Christ or will we follow the beast? Will we follow Satan? And just as a final summation, in conclusion, looking at the Three Angels' message, it's interesting, the last word found within the Three Angels' message is Jesus. It says, here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. So our eyes are to be upon Him and upon His Word, because it's by His guidance that He will help us to see these issues clearly and help us to stand true to His Word, that when He comes, His people will be ready so that He can claim them as His own. That brings our series to a conclusion now. If you have any comments or questions, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. If you'd like, we're offering a free book entitled Truth Left Behind. You can email us at that email address, radioreflection@yahoo.ca. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.